So here's this story. I'm reading from the Tribune, and I'm not sure if they sourced this story or if they got it somewhere else. But the headline is, Alien Ship May Be Among Us. Harvard astronomer insists, despite grumbling and criticism from peers. And it's a story about this chairman of the Harvard University Astronomy Department. And evidently there's some piece of space debris that doesn't act like the stuff that normally enters a solar system or ours. And he said, oh, I think that's debris from another civilization, maybe something they particularly sent. And he said, you know what? Better that I be right and suffer your criticism than just cave like the rest of you muckety-mucks. And all the other muckety-mucks are going, dude, shut up. So that's my brief summary of it all, but that's just me. Mark Hammergren is in our studio. He's the one of the astronomers at the Adler Planetarium, and he's in our studio. Welcome to the show, Mark. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me here.
Do you know who this guy is, this Harvard dude?
Yeah, Avi Loeb.
Avi Loeb. And it's funny because the article describes him a person of great modesty who, you know, isn't looking for trouble, you know, which makes me as a civilian go, well, then why would he say this except he's really smart and he thinks it's true? When I described him as a person of great modesty to you off the air, you started chuckling.
Well, yeah. Now, there's I have to say, first of all, there's certain code of silence among astronomers not to make comments about personal character.
Okay, yeah. So then we won't.
So if we focus on the work. We focus on their science.
And?
And this, first of all, there's not that much science there.
What are we talking about, by the way?
So what spawned all of this was the discovery of an interstellar asteroid or comet. That is, an asteroid or comet, rocky or icy body, that came from outside our solar system. We've been expecting these for decades. We've been expecting to find them for decades because we figure our own solar system threw trillions of these things out when it formed. And so if other stars went through the same process, they should have done the same, and pretty soon we'll run into them. And
so these are random comets or asteroids that aren't orbiting our sun, but just happen to be passing through.
Passing through neighboring space.
That's weird that after all these zillions of years, there are still bits of stuff out there that have not been pulled in, you know, the gravitational pull of some other larger object.
Well, see, that's the thing, and that's what happened with this object. It came in, it sped up as it approached the sun, sun's gravity pulled it, and then as it passed, it slowed down, but not enough, and it left going as fast as it came in. Well, actually, a little faster than it came in.
What about that? What does that mean?
Well, it had what scientists call non-gravitational acceleration.
I'll think about that for a minute.
Yeah, it thrusted, basically. There was what's presumably, and we see this in comets all the time, because comets, they evaporate their ices, and that acts like rocket engines that give them a little boost. And the amount of acceleration that we saw with this object was entirely consistent with comets that we know of.
Well, why did he not assume that? He was suggesting that it had some sort of solar sail, something that harnessed energy and shot it out.
Well, there's other weird things about this, too. The chief one being that it appears to be extremely elongated. And now, that we didn't see the shape directly. It was too far away and too small for it to be seen as anything more than a point of light. But by watching how its brightness changed over time, you can infer things like its rotation rate and its shape. And we do this for asteroids and things in our own solar system all the time. And this one was unusual. It appeared to be extremely elongated. It varied in brightness quite a bit.
How big do you think it is?
Yeah, that's another thing we don't have a great handle on. It's within maybe a factor of 10 in size, so it could be anywhere from about 300 feet to about 3,000 feet long.
Okay, I can live with that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is this the Oumuamua, or however you pronounce it, that came past not too long ago?
That's right. This is Oumuamua, discovered in October of 2017.
So it came past Earth and then went around the sun, and it's back near Jupiter again?
Well, it's past Jupiter's orbit. It's okay. Not heading towards Jupiter. It was discovered after it had made a close approach by the sun, close being astronomical terms, millions and millions of miles. And then it made a relatively close pass by the Earth, again, many millions of miles.
Did it come between us and the moon?
No, not even
those
that close.
Those things freak me out, Jack. I don't want that happening.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I don't need to tell you that. Okay, so keep going with Oumuamua here.
Yeah, and so it was soon discovered that this thing was moving too fast to be confined to our own solar system.
Yeah. I'm amazed that something that is maybe that close but still that far away, that you guys can determine its shape and that it's 300 or 3,000 feet long. I mean, that's spectacular to me.
This is all using various kinds of light from the object. To figure out the size, you have to get a combination of visual observation, see how much regular light is reflected off of it, but then also look at the infrared light, how much heat emission is coming off of it.
Well, then, talk more about this inference. I mean, the story is not just that it went by. I mean, it's been around. It's been in the hood for a couple of years now. But that this really smart guy from Harvard said he thinks it was from another civilization.
Yeah, see, that's the big problem that most scientists have, is the lack of evidence that really necessitates that conclusion.
If something from another civilization did come here, would it not act like that?
We would, well, it acted like a comet would. It looks like a comet. It's dark reddish in color. It's highly elongated. That's weird, right? It also could be brightness variations on the surface. All of these things have been observed in other solar system objects before.
Did it have windshield wipers?
Yeah, we couldn't see anything in detail about that. It was listened to for radio emissions, though.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, just in case, you know, because astronomers are open to that possibility.
Are they? So, I mean, that's what it sounded like, is that a lot of these guys were so dead set against what he was suggesting that you wonder if they would be open to the possibility at all.
I absolutely think that most astronomers are open to the possibility, but only if the evidence suggests it.
Isn't it impossible for some other civilization to visit us because the nearest planet is so far away you couldn't get here? It's too far.
Well, I think that's one thing that highlights why it's a bad idea to invoke aliens as an explanation, because aliens theoretically can do almost anything. Field that we know nothing about because we've never seen them before.
Well, why would they come all the way here? I mean, what would be the say there's a planet and they're going to send something here. How far away are they?
Well, the closest star is over 4 light years away. And if something was moving at the speed of light, that means that would be a journey one way of more than 4 years.
Right. You got to have snacks, or I don't know how they live or what they do. But I mean, and that's if they go the speed of light. How fast do our fastest space vehicles go?
Tens of kilometers a second at
versus,
fastest.
I mean, so a fraction of that, right?
Absolutely
so
tiny.
So it's not 4 light years, it's hundreds of light years.
It would take like 100,000 years or more to get to the closest star.
Well, then they can't get here from there unless they have, you know, they've traveled through some wormhole or something like that.
Or have
right?
technology that we don't currently understand, or some kind of colony ship, or just some kind of long-lived robot. We have to be open to all possibilities, but Carl Sagan used to say, we have to keep open minds, but not so open that our brains fall out.
Fair enough. So you study comets and asteroids?
I do, yeah.
Come nearby?
Yeah, near-Earth asteroids primarily, though I've looked at some of the other ones as well.
Do you worry about one of them just kablamming us? Because I do.
I have some worry about the smaller ones coming at us, and I think it's very important for us to look for them and monitor their orbits so we know where they're going to be going into the far future.
How much warning would we have? I thought that some of them might just appear on the horizon one day, and we've got a couple weeks, and then we're wiped out.
About the ones that might wipe us out, the truly large ones, there are only a handful of near-Earth asteroids that are big enough to cause a mass extinction like the one that killed the dinosaurs. And those are so big that they're relatively easy to see. And we believe that every single one of them in our neighborhood has been found so far, and none of them are going to hit the Earth.
What about smaller ones that could still wipe out a city?
So, yeah, we had an example almost of that kind of thing a few years ago, 2013, I think it was, over Russia. It was an object only about 50, 60 feet across. And it exploded in the air with something like the force of half a megaton of explosive energy, a pretty good-sized nuclear weapon. And it didn't cause devastation on the ground, but because it broke up in the air, it was coming in at a very shallow angle, but its sonic boom broke windows in more than 6,000 buildings throughout the area.
Well, how much warning would we have for one of those coming?
we know of only a few percent of that size population.
So, I mean, literally one could happen next week, and sitting here right now, you and I would not know it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what do you, how interested are you in technology or spaceships to go up and break these things up before they get here?
Oh, I'm very interested in that kind of thing. More interested in the exploration aspects, really. I don't think that we need to develop defense technologies until we see one coming. If we do, we're likely to have decades of warning.
Okay, but the one that's going to destroy a city, that we'd have a couple of weeks' notice.
Yeah, those right now, our surveys are really incapable of finding these things unless they're very close to us.
If one of them did hit, it would. How would we experience it on Earth? We would just see the sky light up?
Yeah, you would see a bright fireball getting brighter and brighter. The one over Russia got to appear about three times as bright as the sun.
During the day, they were able to see it.
Oh, yeah. Came down in the early morning hours.
So how long did they see it in the sky before it exploded?
Just a matter of seconds, really.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah, and
but,
it broke up along the way.
Okay. But if one of those came and did that, you know, it's weird because it's not carrying explosive material. So why does it explode or wipe people out?
They're moving so fast, typically somewhere around 18 kilometers a second, so we're talking about maybe 10 to 15 miles per second, that when they hit the atmosphere, it's like hitting a brick wall, and they push that air out of the way. They also heat up to about 10,000 degrees, and the combination of the air blast and just the air being pushed forward is what really causes the damage from these small objects.
So the phenomenon on Earth would be super hot air.
Yeah, just a huge blast of air coming
down.
That
would wipe stuff out.
Absolutely.
I mean, you think about that. It's not radiation. It's not TNT. It's not shrapnel. It's just a supercharged hot blast of air that's going to just wipe stuff out.
Just like a downward moving explosion. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Okay, so maybe that someday, but maybe not. What's your estimated probability that'll happen in the next 100 years?
Well, the objects the size of the one that came in over Russia, we estimate they hit us every maybe 40 to 60 years. Now, they come in randomly all over the place, so about 70% of them fall into the ocean. And something that size is not going to really cause much damage unless there are planes or ships nearby. So it's not really a huge threat. However, as you were pointing out with the defense thoughts against asteroids. Asteroid impacts are the only natural hazard that we can predict far ahead in time, and we theoretically can prevent if we know about it.
Mark Hammergren is in our studio. He's an astronomer over at Adler. Before I let you go, what's going on at Adler?
We've got a lot of things going on. We have a new sky show that opened up in January, Imagine the Moon. It covers basically, the history of human engagement with the moon. We talk about the Apollo missions some because we are going through the 50th anniversaries, but we also look at imaginative experiences, humans looking at it romantically, how would we get there, that kind of thing. And, of course, we're also going through Black History Month. We have a number of programs that are devoted to that subject. And I recommend that folks interested in any of these things go to our website at adlerplanetarium.org.
Adlerplanetarium.org. Mark Hammergren. All right, Mark, I feel better. Although I wish that that thing zipping by us and off to Jupiter was a spaceship. You don't
myself as well.
Yeah, but maybe not. And I'm also glad to hear about the mass extinction thing because I think about that. But now all I got to do is worry about maybe we're due for one of those one every 70 year things to, you know, wipe out Naperville or something like that. But I'll just have to deal with that on my own. It's nice of you to come into our studio today. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me.